Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Stephen Lippman, who's the founder of Lippman Insurance Group, and we'll be talking about long-term care. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, so get us started with a little bit of your background. What got you into the financial services industry when you got into that line of work?
Well, way back about 30 years ago, I was working in my family business up in New Jersey, and my father's insurance agent would come in and visit him every once in a while, and I got to speaking with him and got very interested in what he did for a living and ended up moving to Florida and going to work for him. And that's how I got into the insurance financial services industry.
Interesting. So here's what I find that's interesting about that. A lot of times people go, oh, I'm trying to grow my insurance agency, so I'm recruiting agents and I'm push, sell. This person was taking time to pay attention to his client's son. And what was he going to get out of that? Nothing on the short end. He probably had no clue that you would be. He was just being a kind person and giving value. So I think that that's a really interesting approach. It reminds me of one of my favorite books, The Go-Giver by Bob Berg, where we're just encouraged to just give and serve and give value and not just try to sell. So I think that's an approach that probably even got ingrained in you and how you work with your clients, since that's how you were exposed to the industry, right?
Yes, he was clearly my mentor. I worked for him for 10 years. He taught me a lot of what I know and implement today. He actually just died a few weeks ago. It was a very sad time for me because I owe him so much.
Yeah.
But I took it from there and worked at a property and casualty agency for a while. Being the financial services go-to person. And then I started my own agency about 10 years ago.
Neat. Awesome. So then is there a specific type of client that you work with? I know today we'll be talking about long-term care, but do you work with specific types of clients in your agency?
Well, whenever I talk to people about what I do, I often say to them, if I'm in a restaurant or in a room, just look around. Everybody here is potentially a prospect. That's one of the wonderful things about what I do, is that everyone, just about everybody, needs it. And so I have narrowed it down to business owners being my primary target market, as well as individuals. As I've gotten older, it's maybe shift a little more towards individuals who are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And addressing retirement, savings, and insurances that they'll need for the duration of their life.
Yes, that's excellent. And one of those types of insurances is long-term care. And I know that that is a phrase that a lot of people think, oh, I'm good on that, or I don't need that, because I hear the word, you know, insurance, or, you know, long-term care, I'm not going to need that. But they don't think they need it until they do. So let's define what actually is long-term care.
Yes. So a lot of people roll along in their life and they have health insurance, and then eventually they're 65 and they have Medicare, and they assume that everything is covered if anything goes wrong with them medically, whether it be an injury or a sickness. But there is a big gaping hole, a big void in everyone's retirement and financial and estate plan, and that is that the government doesn't pay, Medicare doesn't pay, health insurance doesn't pay if someone needs assistance to live and do their daily activities. That's not paid for that by any organization or any insurance company. That has to come out of your pocket. So people work their whole life, save money, and that's the money that ends up going to home healthcare agencies and nursing homes. And it's an economic catastrophe when it happens.
You know, that's a good a really good point, because you don't plan for, you know, bad things to happen. We know that. But what you just described there reminds me of the premise of like some of those Aflac type of coverages, where it's like the out-of-pocket expense. Your insurance might cover X, but it's not going to cover Y. Well, the same thing with what you just described is, you know, if something, you know, catastrophe happens, there's some of the things that'll be covered, but not the day-to-day living expenses. So define a few of those. What would some of those bills that would come in that people would assume, oh, that'll get paid for, but really it doesn't?
Well, it's the cost of being cared for.
Yeah.
Medical expenses are paid for by health insurance.
Yeah.
And by Medicare, whether it be hospitalization or physician services or medications. But what is not paid for is the assistance that people need, most of us, 50 to 70% of us at some point in our life, the assistance with doing what are referred to as activities of daily living. That's our ability to, on our own, independently feed ourselves, dress ourselves, go to the bathroom ourselves, things of that nature. And that's a whole separate provider. That's not doctors and hospitals. That is home health care agencies. That is nursing homes, assisted living facilities, hospice care, adult daycare. Those are the providers of those services, and that's who needs to get paid.
You know, I like diving into, you know, phrases and words. And when you think about long-term care, it makes me think of length of time. So at what point is long-term care initiated? So is it after you need it for 10 days or 15 or 30, or when does that trigger? Because what defines long-term care?
Right. The trigger for having an insurance policy to pay for those long-term care services is the inability to do two of those standardized six activities of daily living. So once one reaches that point and immediately needs to start getting care, that's when they hopefully remember that they have some sort of long-term care insurance that I've provided for them, and start the claims process where the individual's doctor and claims analysts at the insurance company confer. And once they conclude that two of those activities cannot be done by the individual on their own, then a waiting period begins on these insurance policies, typically 90 days. Sometimes it's 60 or 30. It's like a deductible concept. Yeah. I was just speaking to a client of mine just yesterday. Her father turned 100 years old about a month or two ago, and his wife is still alive, and she's in her mid-90s. And my friend was saying how they've had long-term care insurance for many, many years, but even at age, my friend, the 55-year-old woman, is helping them physically with their activities of daily living, and because they are reluctant to use their long-term care policy. And I asked her, why are they reluctant to use it? And she said, because he doesn't like how the first 90 days he has to pay out of pocket for the care. And I explained to her, to explain to him, that that is the concept of a deductible.
Yeah.
All insurances that we buy, whether it be homeowners or auto or health, have a deductible concept. And the waiting period in any sort of long-term care policy is similar to a deductible. Insurance companies could not provide first day care for long-term care services and have the product remain viable. So the answer to the question is, once one cannot do the activities of daily living, typically there's a waiting period, and then the insurance company starts providing the dollars to pay for the care.
Yeah, that's a really great clarification. I hope that she reiterated that to her father, because when it's explained that way, it's like, oh, of course, because if I have a, you know, hail damage claim on my house and my roof is damaged, I have to pay whatever my deductible is, or they pay me you know, minus that deductible. So that's a common thought. And you said something too, that I want to kind of go a little bit deeper on. You know, if people remember they have long-term care, can you think of a time, you know, when, like I mentioned about the roof claim, it's like damage happens. I call my homeowner's insurance agent. I make the claim. They pay it out minus the deductible. And that's how things work. I just know that's there. But there's probably some times that you've had clients for many, many years that didn't even remember that they had the long-term care policy. And maybe you're the one that did. And they're like, oh my word, that was, thank you so much for reminding me about what I'm paying you for. What a relief that is, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing about insurance policies is people get them and they file them away. And most of my clients don't even remember where it is many years later and have to ask for a new copy. But forgetting that you actually bought the insurance, and I'm only 65. So let's consider that young. And but when people get into their 70s and 80s and dementia becomes an issue,
yeah,
this is an issue for remembering that you even have the insurance in place. And another reason why children should be in on the plan and be able to assist their parents and remind them that if they have dementia, that they have long-term care insurance and life insurance. Another thing.
Yeah, be part of the team, like maybe an annual kind of a review where everyone in the family is involved, whether it's a meeting or a Zoom or that type of thing. But, you know, here's where mom and dad have their policies. And if this happens, then give me a call because I can help with that. And I think that's a really great thought there.
Exactly.
So you've been in business for several years, many years, and owned your own agency. Tell us a little bit about your accomplishments that you're proud of at this stage in your career.
Well, I'm proud of one thing that's more along the lines of life insurance is, and this was taught to me by my mentor, how I'm creating a legacy. Long after I'm gone, there's going to be millions of dollars, millions of tax-free dollars going to heirs, to children that I created for them. And that's going to make generations have an easier lifestyle for years and years to come. So I'm very proud that I'm almost getting a little choked up thinking about it, that I'm able to create that legacy. When I deliver death benefit checks to people, it's always a very emotional experience for me because of the good that it's doing. So nothing feels better to me than providing those dollars exactly when they're needed. That's something I'm very proud of.
Yeah. And while it's not a, you know, fun time to deal with, you know, delivering the death benefit, on the flip side, it was a very powerful legacy building decision that you assisted the family in making in the years preceding that. And then now is the time that that's coming to fruition. So you can realize that that grieving time is there. That's a sad time, but the positive is, boy, you helped them place some strong financial foundations in place. So yeah, that's really a huge metric to be proud of. I love that.
And yeah. Another thing that I'm proud of is along another line of that I do is helping people preserve their retirement savings. A lot of people roll along in their life and they have 401ks or they systematically save money for when they're in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And sometimes they fail to make adjustments to that. I know my father had an IRA that he built up, and it wasn't until he was into his late 70s that I was able to really address that with him. And the fact that it was 100% in stock market investments. Uh-huh. And that should not be the case for people as they age. They need to diversify away from things that are 100% exposed to the volatility of the stock market. So indexed annuities is another big part of what I do for people. I find that to be a superb tool for a portion of people's retirement savings because indexed annuities allow people to put a chunk of their retirement money someplace where it still participates in the gains of a stock market index, but it's insulated from downturns in the stock market. Because when I did this for my father, it was roughly $1 million. And it was right before 2008, 2009 crash. And that $1 million that was in IBM and Disney and whatever would have been worth about $600,000 a year later. And I kept it at $1 million. So I tell that story to a lot of people because I lived it with him. And I think index annuities, again, are a fantastic way to preserve your retirement savings when we get into our 60s, 70s, and 80s.
And in that example you gave where there's a big drop, you know, most advisors would say, oh, we're into it for the long term. It'll come back, and it might have. But depending on your age, like in your dad's age, maybe at that point, maybe the timetable, the runway to help let it recover and come back up, you know, was not optimal. So, boy, what a strong financial move that was. So that's so spectacular. So looking forward, you know, so that looking back into some great accomplishments, how you serve your clients, what are you passionate about at this stage now looking forward? What is some of the things that you see in the upcoming future for you?
Well, I'm continuing to use my bread and butter tools that I have in my tool belt, which are at this stage of my career, life insurance, long-term care insurance, indexed annuities, and also disability insurance. And sometimes the business application of those products comes into play also. I met a gentleman at a networking event recently who owns a bourbon company that he and two partners have going, and it's doing very well. And what's interesting is the partner that I met at this event, I called him a few days later, and I said, so I wanted to know if you guys have a buy-sell agreement that is funded with life insurance. And he said, oh, yes, we do. We do. And I didn't want to say, are you sure about that? Because sometimes that can be offensive. But so I said, so is there any one of the three of you that really handles the financial aspect of your emerging bourbon business? And he gave me that individual's name. I called him and he said, yes, we have a buy-sell agreement. No, it is not funded. At all. And we are looking to purchase another company. And that was actually on his list of things to do. So timing is not always that good.
Yeah.
But that's another example of something I've learned in my career, which is to not take no for an answer. Sometimes that gets us into trouble because we can annoy people. People don't really like insurance agents and can find them annoying and avoid them at parties. But sometimes we can't take no for an answer, because if we do this job for enough years, we learn that a lot of times that person is saying no just because it's easy and it's not an accurate answer.
Yeah, and it reminds me of an old saying. I don't even know who it's attributed to, but trust, but verify. You know, it's not like I'm calling you a liar, but I trust you, but let's verify that. Let's make sure that it's properly funded. You know, like it might be funded, your buy sale might be funded by life insurance, but let's make sure it's properly funded. And then in your case, you talked to the person, dug in, and it wasn't even done the right way. But that is a great way to go, hey, I just want to make sure that you've got, you know, like a little gold star by that little section of buy sale funded the right way. Let's take a peek, polish it up, and just make sure you're good to go. And so that uncovered some great opportunity that helped them out. So I just think that is spectacular, the way that you are watching for areas not to line your pockets, but to serve your clients and to make sure they understand what they should be doing. So Steve, if someone is listening to this, wanting just to reach out and learn more and connect with you, what's the best way that they can do that?
Well, I'd love for anybody to either give me a call at 561-289-5721. 561-289-5721, or they can email me at Stephen A. Lipman. That's double P as in pizza, LIPPMAN. Stephen A. Lipman at gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.